I can't remember how I got here. I assume I drove, because I'm here, and I'm holding my car keys. But I don't remember leaving my house, which is probably normal under these circumstances. I stare at the lights in the ceiling, counting no fewer than 7 fluorescent bulbs, one of them continuing to buzz and flicker and flash, because it can't make up its mind as to whether or not it wants to stay lit. I chose a chair in the corner of the waiting room, even though there were other seats available, and it's underneath the air conditioning vent. I'm cold, and I can feel goosebumps that I have an urge to scratch rising up on my forearms, underneath my blue blouse. I focus on the glass coffee table in front of me, women's magazines fanned out in a semicircle, as if picking up a few new recipes or exercise strategies would make sitting in this waiting room any less torturous. I don't know anything about Tara Redmond, except that Tara Redmond doesn't really sound like the name of a lawyer. Tara Redmond could be a class mom, or a Girl Scout troop leader, or a nursery school teacher. You want Tara Redmond to hand out smiley face stickers, read stories, and help you sell cookies to the people in your neighborhood. You don't necessarily want her to help you get your life back after you eagerly gave it away. You don't want her to be the one responsible for fixing all of your mistakes. I'm not the only person sitting in this waiting room, but I'm apparently the only one who's willing to actually look around and acknowledge that anyone else is here. The other 3 women busy themselves, staring at anything except each other, as if they could make themselves invisible simply by avoiding eye contact. One of them is pulling relentlessly at a loose thread on the cuff of her blazer that apparently needs to be ripped off right this very minute. She's tugging at the string so fiercely I'm beginning to think she might unravel her sleeve before Tara Redmond comes and saves her from a completely self-provoked wardrobe malfunction. Another is reading a book, but she hasn't flipped the page in 20 minutes. Unless she's reading 50 Shades of Grey, it's pretty clear she's checked out entirely and has no idea what's going on around her. The 3rd woman is playing some kind of game, I think Candy Crush, on her iPad. I know this because she didn't turn the volume off, and the stupid music is playing way too loudly in an otherwise silent waiting room. If I had the energy, I'd go over there, rip the iPad out of her hands, and smash it into a billion little pieces on the glass coffee table, right next to the most recent copy of Cosmo and a small box of Kleenex. I notice that we're all in different stages of this process, by the way each of us has chosen to deal with her wedding ring. The woman trying to rip off her own sleeve has her rings dangling around her neck, as if continuing to wear them on some part of her body will make her divorce a little less real. She's still in the bargaining phase of the process, hoping that she can work things out with her husband. Meanwhile, her soon-to-be ex has probably thrown his ring down the garbage disposal with last night's takeout, and she's sitting here nervously ruining her clothing and affectionately stroking her pavé diamond ring as it hangs on a fragile gold chain. I feel badly for her. Holding on to the dream of how things should have been isn't going to help. I'm still new to this, but even I know that. She should ditch the necklace and the glazed-over stare and start focusing on new reality. That's just my opinion. It's too bad she's not going to ask me for it. The fake reader is still wearing her rings, a tasteful diamond solitaire and a platinum band, which are strange things to be wearing when you're sitting in a divorce attorney's waiting room. She's in denial. She's probably going to leave this office and text her soon-to-be ex-husband to ask if she should pick up his dry cleaning on the way home, even though they no longer live together. The younger woman playing Candy Crush twirls her ring around and around and around again on her finger, nervously,